kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right, Joe. How are you?
I am doing good. I am drinking a new Coke.
New Coke?
Yeah, new Coke. Remember that from the fucking 80s?
Wow. I do.
I'm drinking one.
Is it tasty?
You know how some stores have a generic Coke and a generic Pepsi?
Yes.
It tastes like those mixed.
I wouldn't necessarily call that good.
It's not bad. It really isn't bad. But it was that Stranger Things bundle that you did where you had a mail away for $20 and you got a collectible box. You got 2 8-ounce glass bottles of Coke, one of Coke and one of Coke Zero with Stranger Things logo on it. And then 2 cans of new Coke.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Only 2 cans though.
Only 2 for $20.
That's kind of ass.
Doc Havoc and a complimentary punch in the dick. Close.
I mean,
it's cool though. It's
what if
cool
you ain't got a dick to get punched in?
I don't know.
Then where do they punch you?
New Coke. It is a thing. I wonder if they're going to bring it in stores or anything.
I mean, they're pulling in $20 off 2 cans, so probably not.
Well, they got to ship that stuff too.
Really a brilliant marketing scheme. I'm trying to choose a tea and I'm like just opening. That's if you hear my bags rustling. I'm just trying to decide what I'm going to actually even drink.
What flavors are on tap?
Oh my God. So I didn't know shit about tea 2 weeks ago. And Lily was kind enough to send me just an obscene amount of tea in every kind of flavor imaginable. Cause she is fantastic like that. So I've got everything from tropical green to I have one hot cinnamon spice left and that one's been my favorite so far. And I'm like hesitant to drink it cause I don't want to run out. I just like to smell that one. I got some called wellness tea. I got some Chinese flower. I got wellness, which is like I said that one already. I got jasmine. I've got some abundant sea. I've got Japanese matcha. I got some kind of breakfast blend, which is clearly not breakfast time. Black currant was my other favorite because it tastes like raspberries.
Ooh, go with that one.
I was down for that. I had that last night and I was like, this is my shit.
You want to know what else is the shit? No Time for Games is the shit because he just subbed for 16 months in a row.
Wow.
Dropping subs.
We got to get that. Actually, I might try. I don't know.
Go my black currant.
I think I'm gonna, even though I just had it yesterday.
As Doc Havoc continually makes fun of how you say Tay.
Tay. Do I say it funny?
Want some Tay.
As if I never realized that I said that funny.
I think he's just being a dick.
It might be because he makes fun of literally everything I say.
He does.
I could say something like perfectly Midwestern, no accent at all. All right, I got to set a 5-minute timer there so I know when my tea's done. But he would still mock me for it. It's kind of like my mother-in-law. Like, I've been married to David for... Well, we haven't been married all 18 years. We've been together for 18 years. And that woman still makes fun of how I say 5. Every time. Anything with a long I sound, she catches me on it every time.
Nice.
What time is it? It's 5. God 5. Bless me if I ever have to be around her when it's 5 to 9. It would just be a nightmare.
Nightmare.
Nightmare. All there is to that. I gotta put all this damn tea back in the bag. There. Don't spill the tea, because then you gotta pick the damn bags back up, put them back in the bigger bag.
Yeah, you don't want to tea bag people.
It's complicated. Okay.
I'm good. Did you make your selection?
Yes, I did. I went for the currant.
Nice.
Yeah.
I remember when they used to have a black currant Pepsi.
Did they really?
They had, it was like the Pepsi 1893 or whatever the fuck that old stuff is. And they had a black currant flavor of it. And it was fucking incredible. And they got rid of it.
Yeah, I looked up the price of this tea yesterday and I was like, well, it's a good thing David started a new job this week.
Oh, Jesus.
You're out there in the summer heat just to pay for my tea.
Is it that much?
It's $15 a pack.
How many in a pack?
50.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, but they don't take food stamps online.
Oh, snap. No Time is not done. Just dropped 500 biddies. You know what that means.
Dropping bits! All over your fucking face! Wet pancakes!
Wet pancakes. Wet pancakes.
Incredible. Wait, where's the emote? I got an emote. There we go.
Wet pancakes.
We gotta get Norg to work on the sub ones.
We do. I'm gonna have to ask him for something special anyway, because we're getting close. We are creeping up on episode 500.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. We're at 492. We are creeping up. We are a month away from episode 500.
Wow.
Yeah.
We need to do like a giveaway or some shit, I guess.
Oh, we're gonna be doing some giveaways. I sent out a bunch of emails. We're getting some codes in. I'm hoping that we're gonna have a good audience that night, because it's going to be code drop after code drop on screen like we usually do. Might even do like an old school code reading on the show like we used to do in the early days. I wouldn't be surprised if there's actually some unused codes out there, because we used to take a code and read it off on the show. And instead of the letters, we would use words.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I'm sure that there's probably still like two Funk of Titans codes that are unused sitting in an episode.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But 500 episodes. I can't believe we're getting there.
That is. And I don't remember what episode we were even on when I started the show either.
I don't know either. It's all a blur at this point. I'm hoping to get some friends on for 500, but we'll see what happens. Well, either way, it's going to be a good time. And if people are listening to this, but you're never in our Twitch chat, make sure to check out our Twitch show. It'll be July 25th, 9 p.m. Eastern time. There's going to be games dropping, and there's going to be a lot of games dropping. So if you want free shit and you don't want No Time for Games to get literally everything like they usually do, show up and be quick on the draw. But yeah, how was your week?
My week was really good. Like I said, David started a new job, so I get to spend all my time alone at the house, and I'm not necessarily mad about it.
No, that sounds good.
More time to play games. I love my family, but I'm horribly introverted. And
I love my family, but fuck them.
I like to be alone. And when you live in close quarters with four other people, you don't get to be alone very much. So I cherish it. But,
nice.
You know, that's about the long and short. Other than that, I've just been all week playing games and drinking tea.
Games and tea. And I'm games and new Coke.
Yeah. Man, it's kind of sad because I'm not allowed to just have regular pop anymore. And so that is the one downside to my week, is they finally diagnosed what was going on. I've made some allusions to it in past shows, and I've made some comments on Twitter, but basically, I was diagnosed with stage 3 scarring on my liver.
Oh, shit.
And stage 4 is the point of no return.
Oh, shit.
So stage 4 is actual cirrhosis. And so I'm at stage 3 with bridging. So there are some areas that have cirrhosis, but it's mostly stage 3. Hence why I've started drinking tea.
Yeah.
That's basically the only thing they can do for me. But the official diagnosis came through this week. And I've been reeling from that a little bit and trying to decide if I was even really going to talk about it. But
this turned into a very special episode of the SML podcast out of nowhere.
You know, it's a thing. And so sometimes when we record, I'm probably not going to be as peppy and upbeat. I took a shit ton of prednisone today.
I thought you were about to say I took a shit and just leave it there.
No.
Took a shit earlier today. Felt really good. Stomach was bugging me.
Yeah. I took a lot of prednisone and I took a nap. So today I'm upbeat.
That's good.
But there may come shows where I'm just a little not me. And that's okay.
And in those times, I will be here to make dick jokes.
Yeah, that's when you gotta fill in with the dick jokes and roll us through. But it just seems it was something I needed to put out there. Like, I'm not being a bitch.
I
am, but like some shows, I've had trouble the last couple of months with just being fatigued and a little more low energy, and that's the reason behind it. So just so everybody knows, I'm not dying, but I'm trying to.
You're trying to. No time for games. I should guest host sometime. I'll take a shit while on air if you want.
I mean, I used to record the show from my bathroom. So
we may have had a show shit before.
I've definitely done it pantsless.
Hey, the camera only shows from like my chest up, so no one knows what's going on my side. I'm balls out right now.
It's fucking hot over here.
On my leather seat, the balls just stick into the leather.
Stu doesn't might have to be drunk Stuta online again on Xbox. That was a couple days ago. Oh, that was it last week maybe? Oh, it was incredible. Playing Rocket League with Stuta when he's drunk is fucking hilarious. I mean, we're funny anyway when we play Rocket League, but oh my god. He was just missing all kinds of dumb shit, and it was totally because he was tipsy.
That's beautiful.
Those are the few times where I'm just like, I wish I was a streamer.
Then it's built in on the Xbox. Just know, open up Twitch and get going.
Somebody needs to see that shit. I did stream before. The last time we had a Jackbox party pack, I streamed that.
Yeah.
I should stream more. I will be
at Verse City.
Yeah. That was hilarious. Except for the one creepy dude who was like trying to hit on me in his verses. And you're just like, I'm totally just ignoring and not giving him any leeway.
Oh, Jesus.
I had no idea who the guy was, but apparently he was really into the Southern accent. Poor bastard.
Speaking of streaming, GDC's going on this week. Have you been watching that at all?
I have not, but I did know it was going on. I always get so frustrated with Games Done Quick and all of those.
Why?
Because normal people can't do that shit. I don't want to watch somebody like beat an entire game in 15 seconds by glitching through a wall. When I glitch through a wall in a game, I got to get on this podcast and rant for 15 minutes about how that shit's broken.
Well, you don't have to go for 15 minutes. You just choose to.
I just choose to, and I can't help myself.
Oh,
sometimes,
man.
Shit happens.
I'm having fun with GDC, though. I love watching these. I'm a big fan of the GDC events. It's just fun to watch people decimate games. And my favorites are the ones of games I've never heard before.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember the name of it, but there was this one of a guy, like, swinging with a grappling hook, and every time he would swing, it would pick up his momentum. And I wish I could remember what the name of it is. It was like Realm of something. It sounded like an RPG, but it wasn't.
Yeah. I was just about to ask, is there any games that you've seen that you didn't know of that you purchased because of it?
Last year there were a couple games. God, I can't remember any names because I'm fucking stupid. The one I was talking about, though, is Remnants of Nazith. N-A-E-Z-I-T-H. It is on PC. Remnants of Nazith or Nazith.
I feel like Steam has recommended that game to me before.
It might have. That one was really cool.
That sounds so familiar. I really do. I probably has, because it seems like the only thing you ever give me to review on Steam is like crazy platformers like Lovely Planet 2. And so that's what it thinks I like to play. And I do, but I also like point and clicks.
Well, we don't get much on Steam anymore. We've kind of drifted away from Steam reviews, mainly because most of my Steam reviewers aren't with the show anymore, or they've gotten bored of doing reviews.
Also because everybody's gone to Epic now. Shots fired. Pew, 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 pew.
Which Epic will be brought up in one of our reviews. I know that.
Oh, damn.
Unless you're doing it too.
What?
Bringing up Epic in a review.
No.
Okay, so it's just one.
Yep. I'm good.
Anyway, we should probably get to the show, though, shouldn't we?
We should. I mean, we've been at this for, what, like 20 minutes, and I got tea now.
Yeah, it's been like 17, 17 and a half, something like that.
It's fine. But
close enough. Some news of the week. PlayStation Plus games for July were announced. No games with gold yet. Watch, they'll be announced tomorrow, and then we'll be super out of date with our news next week.
You're going to like message me and make me record a clip in the middle and pretend like we didn't edit it?
Nah, I'm too lazy.
I'll just save it for next week
and we'll recover the PS Plus game. Like, we haven't done that in the past with Xbox, where we cover the games with gold, and then the next week it's like, oh, now we have PlayStation Plus. Well, here's what the games with gold were again. That's just extra content for us. That just means less work for us to do.
Makes our job easier.
Yeah, but for July, PlayStation is getting Horizon Chase Turbo and Pro Evolution Soccer 2019. Yeah, that was my reaction too. Horizon Chase Turbo is a solid game. Pro Evolution Soccer, why? Like, what is it with sports games being added to these games with gold in PlayStation Plus lineups?
They gotta appeal to everybody, not just us indie nerds.
I don't get it. And it's in Game Pass already anyway. So if you have Game Pass, Pro Evolution Soccer, you don't fucking need PlayStation Plus.
That's kind of the point, isn't it?
It's getting there. There's so many people anymore who are like, well, I bought a year of PS Plus 7 months ago, and I haven't found a reason to use it yet. That was a comment I saw on the PlayStation blog.
Wow.
Yeah, I bought a card 7 months ago, and I haven't found a reason to use it yet. I don't know if they were being sarcastic or if they were exaggerating a bit, but that's what the one comment said.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been good games in the past few months, but this month, I'm going with a no on this month. I don't think Xbox has to do too much to beat them out this month.
That's a good point. Do you have any hopes for what might be games with gold?
Oh, Jesus. My hope from now on will always be one of the Risen games being a Xbox 360 game, because it means that it's backward compatible. And
You ain't getting that.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
I know. I don't even want it free. I already own it. I just want to play it on Xbox One.
I am the crusher of hopes and dreams.
Pisses me off that the Risen games were shown when they first revealed backward compatibility at E3, and they're like, oh, we're going to have all these games. The first lineup is going to be over like 100 games and blah, 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 blah. The Risen games were shown.
Yeah.
Their artwork was shown in the press materials. I remember seeing it, and they never came.
I would assume something went awry with making it work.
I don't know, but Risen 3 got a re-release on PS4 and it never got one on Xbox, presumably because of backward compatibility, and that never happened.
Extra savage.
Sad. I am sad.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, speaking of Game Pass, a lot of games were announced that they're coming to Game Pass. I don't have any dates on them yet. They had an ID at Xbox stream earlier today where they went over a bunch of games that were coming, and they had interviews with developers. The news and that the games that are coming, again, no dates on these. I tried checking one of them today, and it wasn't available yet, so hopefully soon. But coming to Game Pass and PC Game Pass, My Time at Portia, Bad North, Goner, The Banner Saga 3, Yoku's Island Express, and Worms WMD.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That is a good lineup.
A lot of Raw Fury and Team 17 love there.
Yoku's Island is a sleeper. Like, I don't know why more people didn't jump on that.
I loved it.
It was really good.
It was so charming, too.
Yeah, and it was creative. Like, they really poured it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
more games are coming to PC Game Pass. Those announced are For the King, Machinarium, Unavowed, Time Spinner, and Undertale. Which really pisses me the fuck off that we're getting Undertale on PC Game Pass, but we're not getting it on Xbox One.
Are we not ever going to get it on Xbox, or is it?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm so irritated. I've been waiting for Undertale to come to Xbox, and now it's coming to PC Game Pass. I don't want to play a game on my computer. I want to play it on my TV.
I mean, I've surprisingly used the PC Game Pass a couple times already. And I didn't think I would, but I was surprised by how many things even my little old rig could handle. So,
yeah, I played Broforce on there, which is another game that pisses me off, that Broforce we have on PC Game Pass, but we don't have it on Xbox One. It's on PS4, though. Sons of bitches. Maybe we'll see more Devolver love with PC Game Pass, and maybe it'll translate to Xbox.
They're on my shit list. I want my friend Pedro.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to see my friend Pedro as well. Carnage Saiyan Hotline Miami. I didn't know that one was on Game Pass, but if it is, there's another game that's on Game Pass for PC, but it's not on Xbox One.
Did you know that they added Game Pass for PC to the Game Bar? On Windows now. Yeah, if you press the Windows key and G and the Game Bar comes up, you can access your Game Pass games, which I thought was a brilliant idea. I've also noticed that they've stopped calling it the Windows Game Bar and they started calling it the Xbox Game Bar.
Nah, they got to get that Xbox branding everywhere.
I'm not particularly mad about it, though.
Me neither.
Because
it's just a name.
Like, if there's going to be people out there who play on PC but aren't hardcore PC gamers and don't have top of the line of everything, and they're just going to know, you know, oh, well, I see Xbox on my PC, and then, hey, I can buy an Xbox and also play on that if my PC is tied up, and it's cheaper than buying another PC, so why not?
Yeah.
So, again, that's there's going to be grannies that do that who don't. Don't know shit about gaming. They're like, my grandkid said something about an Xbox, and there they are. And it's fine. It's a good way to sell extra shit.
True. Very true. Jordan in chat. How you doing, Jordan?
Somebody told them the tonight. Codes.
Codes. Yeah, we'll have codes later on. We usually do codes during reviews, but...
He smells them.
That's what, the people who don't check us out on Twitch, you're always missing out on free games.
Mm-hmm.
Because
they just randomly pop up.
Yeah, we give them out during the show on stream. You got to pay attention. We don't just drop it in chat. You gotta have your shit together, man. You gotta be quick on the draw, or else no time's gonna get it.
Yeah, no time does not fuck around
at all. I can only imagine how many free games they've gotten from our show.
That's the reason No Time can give us so many biddies. It's because he's saving all that money on games.
It's like, I don't have to buy a game this week. Fuck it. Here's some bits.
Dropping bits.
And he gets to hear Norg. Totally.
Wet pancakes.
I love it. Why is wet pancakes so funny?
I don't know. I'm just glad he didn't say moist pancakes.
Wet pancakes.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Anyway, back to Game Pass. There is a game leaving Game Pass soon. The game After Charge is going to be leaving Game Pass on July 9th. So if you've been interested in that game, now is the time to play it.
Yes. They do also have double XP and I think some other boosters to help you get those level achievements if you were going for them.
Now that's cool. So,
yeah.
Or buy it and save 20% or 10% or whatever the discount is.
Yep. If you particularly love it.
Indeed. Let's see, what else? Battlefield 5 is now a part of EA Access, so that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one took a little while, didn't it? Has it been 7 months or more?
I think it's been a little longer.
Yeah. Well, I'll say that one took a little longer than the other ones. They must have been making more money off of it.
I think that was like 8 or 9 months.
Yeah, sales are starting to dip. Finally time to put it in there.
Hey, might as well. It was revealed that the negotiations to get Banjo and Kazooie into Smash Ultimate were easier than getting Square's Dragon Quest characters. How crazy is that?
That is pretty crazy.
Getting a competing company's character into the game was easier than getting Dragon Quest that has been on Nintendo since the 80s.
Wow. Well, I wonder why.
I don't know. I wonder if Square's just not that interested in the game, because let's not forget, with Cloud from Final Fantasy VII, the only thing that he has is two songs and a stage. There's no assist trophies, there's no remixes, there's nothing special. It's just Cloud, two songs from the game, just Final Fantasy VII rips, not even rearranged, and the stage, and that's it. So hopefully they're doing a bit more with the Dragon Quest characters than they did with Cloud.
They're not. because it's going to Nintendo and not PlayStation.
They're already doing more because of the whole 8 characters for all the skins. So that's still cool though. There.
Yeah.
I don't know what more to expect. I hope
Square's
this means
on my shit list. That's why I'm saucy. We can't be friends anymore, Square Enix.
Oh, come on. We could still be friends, just not super close friends.
I will be like friendly at a distance as long as you keep putting Life is Strange 2 in Game Pass.
Nice. Last bit of news I have is there is a huge uproar over NBA 2K19. Have you heard this at all?
No.
They have added unskippable ads to their loading screens.
In a $60 game?
Yes.
Fucking nope.
There is a way to disable them. They have like NBA TV or something like that in the game that gives you like pregame video and whatever other shit. I don't play the NBA game, so I don't know what all it does, but it's like an in-game TV station, and you can turn it off, and doing that will disable the ads. But the fact that there's ads, unskippable ads, if your game is done loading and the ad is still playing,
to watch it.
You gotta finish that fucking ad. How shitty is that?
Fuck that.
Carnage saying, now I know why they made the game $3 a while back. That's what a lot of people
$2
are saying.
$2.99 too much.
They got everybody into this game with a $3 sale, and now they're making everyone watch unskippable ads.
Wow. That is some horseshit.
It is horseshit.
Hopefully there's enough backlash that doesn't become something where other companies are like, yeah, that's a good idea. We can do that too. Because oh no, you God. Fucking can't do that too. Don't do that.
AAA games just doing bullshit like this is what makes me happy that we're an indie-focused show.
That's the thing that gets me too. Like, we see games made by lone developers that sell for $5. And they ain't going and sticking no fucking ads in there.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do it, why the hell can't a big-ass AAA company do it? And I know the answer to that, but this isn't a politics and economy show, and I can't get into that.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, that's the news I have. Anything you wanted to talk about?
No. I have been delightfully unaware of what's going on in basically the rest of the world. Like, I spent all week just focused on playing my review games and paying attention to jack shit else. it's been a good one.
Well, then are you ready to start our reviews for the week?
I am. I'm quite excited to talk about all the games this week.
Well, you're not going to talk first. I am.
Fuck.
Yes.
Guess I'll drink my tea.
Because the first game to talk about this week is called The Sinking City, developed by Frogwares, published by Big Ben Interactive. It released June 27th on Xbox One, PC, and PS4 for $59.99. In the 1920s on the east coast of the United States, the half-submerged city of Oakmont is gripped by supernatural forces. Your private investigator uncovering the truth of what has possessed the city and corrupted the minds of its inhabitants and yours. Dark Mika covered this one, wrote in a review, and here's what she's got to say. The Sinking City is a third-person action survival mystery game. You play as a World War I Navy vet named Charles Reed, who is now a PI, and you've been having visions and delusions. I get that, Charles. No sleep does some weird shit to you. Ha, yeah, because she's had insomnia lately.
She's struggling.
Poor Dark Mika.
She's cosplaying as me. Stop it.
He goes to a sleepy 1920s port city named Oakmont to figure out why he's having visions, sick, twisted, fucked up visions. Oh yeah, these people hate outsiders, and guess what you are? Yeah, you're fucked. You need to figure out what's going on in this flooded shithole of a city and what it has to do with your visions, and maybe how to prevent Cthulhu from jerking off on the city or something like that. In this, you find resources. Money doesn't mean much to a mostly flooded city where monsters are hunting the people. Instead, bullets are the currency. And by fuck do you need them bullets. There's nothing to buy or anything in the game. Instead, you find resources. And when you finish main or side missions, you also get them. The monsters in this game, they were made to be monsters. You can't hold like a billion bullets in this game like you can in most others. You carry a couple clips and that's it. Monsters, they take a lot to kill, depending on the weapon. I mostly use the melee weapon, a trench shovel, to kill enemies when I could, because I'm a resource whore. With the resources, you could craft bullets for your various guns, health kits, explosives, and the like. Monsters kill you in mostly one hit at the start, even with your health maxed out. You still can't take much, and most heavy attacks from them will still one-shot you. These things are made to put the fear of Cthulhu in you. There's a few different types, and as you get further in the game and further into the city, you'll come across more variants of them. However, the majority of the places you'll find resources are, you guessed it, right in a monster clusterfuck, so you have to manage a way of getting to stuff and running away so you don't waste more resources than you picked up. You can level up as well and have 3 skill sets to put abilities into. I maxed all 3 and still had extra upgrade points I couldn't use. It didn't make the game any easier. First skills to get the ones that increase XP gained, and then getting the melee ones. Melee, while shit compared to guns, doesn't cost resources, so it's a godsend. That being said, resources aren't hard to come by once you figure out when the enemies spawn and how to get items quickly. Resource containers spawn random stuff in them once you get far enough away. I also found some amusing little Easter eggs, like a poster about Sherlock and the mystery of the creepy Watson. Nice. The devs that made that also made a number of the Sherlock Holmes games, maybe even all of them, I think. In one of them, Watson looked creepy and he would teleport to you when you looked away from him, so people found him creepy. I remember that game.
Wow.
I forget what it was, but the video showed him looking at Watson and then turned around and Watson was right in his face. It's an amazing video. You got to look it up for creepy Watson.
Oh, gosh.
Also, I love the Sherlock games. This has a minor mind palace.
Sherlock?
What did I say?
Sherlock?
I said Sherlock.
No.
whatever. Also, I love the Sherlock games. This has a minor mind palace deductive reasoning Sherlock-esque bit to it for solving mysteries in the game, which I liked. The only drawback to the game was it lagged when opening and closing the menu, which is how you get to see the map, get to deductions, craft things, etc., as well as lagging anytime you went into a building. Most of the rest of the map didn't have that issue, though, amazingly. For $60 on Switch, Xbox One, PS4, and Epic, but don't get it from Epic, the storefront is garbage, otherwise I think it's extremely worth the price. It's about a 40 to 60 hour game. It has replay value since you can finish every main quest in at least 2 or more ways. If you like Cthulhu and Sherlock, is that good? Sherlock,
yes.
Holmes games, then you'll love this. I like both of those, so I can't sing its praises enough. If you don't like them, the shooting is okay at best, so maybe it won't be your cup of tea. $75 Necronomicon Edition, which is for Xbox One and PS4, and again, the shitty Epic Store, gives you a few extra side missions, maybe 5 hours of extra content, a few outfits, some starting resources, and another weapon. I think it's worth it for that alone. However, it also gives you another full game, Sherlock Holmes, The Devil's Daughter. The extra side missions alone made it worth the extra $15, a full Sherlock game with it? Fuck yes. And the game is coming to Steam in 2020.
Oh my gosh.
So, yeah, sounds like a good one.
Yeah, it does.
Unless you want it on PC, then you're stuck with Epic.
Rip.
Oh, man. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Irony Curtain from Matryoshka with Love. I think that's how it is. Matryoshka.
Matryoshka.
Irony Curtain from Matryoshka with Love, developed and published by Artifex Mundi, released June 25th on PS4, 27th on Switch, 28th on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $19.99. Irony Curtain is a satirical point-and-click inspired by the classic adventure games. It smuggles you out of your comfort zone and throws you in the middle of a Cold War spy intrigue where there's an even bigger game being played. Cole, what is this game?
This game is absolutely absurd. So every time I review an Artifex Mundi game, I point out how you know what you're getting. It's going to be a point and click. It's going to be hand illustrated. It's going to usually have some kind of fairy tale or Norse mythology. And it's going to be absolutely gorgeous. And this game's not that. and not the not gorgeous part, because it's incredibly well illustrated. It looks fantastic. But every other element of what you expect with an Artifex Mundi game is not there. And it's because, for starters, it was only published by Artifex Mundi. But it's a point and click, so of course their name's got to be on it.
Was it? Because this is another one where the information I saw said it was developed by Artifex.
No, it's developed by somebody else. I don't remember the name, though.
I'm looking this up.
Yeah, go ahead.
You continue.
Okay, so you play as the lovable fool, Evan Kowalski. Evan is an American journalist. He writes his own little newspaper, the Daily Worker Monthly. He is hopelessly in love with the idea of communism. He thinks communism is the best thing ever. He loves the little country of Matryoshka, which is totally not a stand-in for Russia. and he's dead set and totally enveloped in everything that has to do with this country. This is set during the 1950s when the Red Scare was a thing.
No.
So, naturally, not everybody else is amused with Evan's foray into communism. By the way,
the Steam page says developer Artifex Mundi.
Really?
Yes.
I could have swore when they were promoting it that they said it was developed by somebody else and they were just publishing it.
It's possible, but I'm going right off the Steam page, and I've never seen the Steam page. Like, when the other games are done, it'll say Brave Giant or whoever, House of Fables, whatever it is, but this one, Artifex Mundi.
I know they were making a big deal because they did the same thing with My Brother Rabbit. It was a published thing. So, interesting. Would also explain a few of the mistakes that I'll talk about in a second. But Evan goes on to a news show, a live broadcast, and touts the virtues of Matryoshka and all of the good things. Although he fumbles a little, there's even a hidden achievement if you can, when you're setting up the slideshow for him, if you fuck up and put his personal photos in there instead of the ones of the country, you'll get an achievement. and that kind of sets the stage for the kind of fool that Evan is. He's a likable idiot, but he's an idiot. And that plays into some of the way that the puzzles are solved in this, because the solutions are a little out of the realm of normal. Everything is meant to be poking fun at everything else. For example, at one point you need a stamp so that you can stamp your paperwork once you get to Matryoshka. And you have to like take an actual Matryoshka doll and put chewing gum on one end and then put a souvenir on the other. And then they go, fine, that's a stamp, sure. And then there's another part where you need a plug for the bathtub. So you just put the stamp in it. And you're it's so obscene how everything plays out. At the same time, once Evan is actually in Matryoshka, like their goofy illustration of this, you know, communistic country that's just it's just fucked. It's Russia, whether we want to say it out loud in the game or not. It's Russia, and like everything is bugged. And there's one point you're looking at a bookshelf, and like one of the books just says it has a movable cover, and it's literally just giving way so that a camera lens pokes out, or a microphone will randomly appear, or you just like. There's a dresser and you'll be rummaging through the dresser and it's like you move things and never mind, there's a microphone there. And no, he never notices and says anything about these at any given time until it's flat out pointed out to him. They're like, you know, you're being watched, right? Fucking everything you do. Like he has to fill out paperwork just to get access to the bathroom. It's so obscene, but it's so funny. And then at the same time, you're like, I probably shouldn't be laughing at some of this stuff. Now, there are a few minor little hiccups. The biggest thing that gets me is that, now I can't even remember what the exact phrasing on it was. Oh, yeah. When you make a mistake, it's typical Artifex money. It doesn't punish you for fucking up and trying to use the wrong thing for a solution. But Evan will make a quip, right? And he'll be like, that works about as well as our parliament. And it's meant to be funny until you remember that he's supposed to be an American and we don't have a parliament in the U.S.
Mm.
We have Congress. And so it's just a tiny little thing that shocks me and goes, wait a second. That's not how that works. And it's just kind of a shame because so much attention to detail was put in everywhere else that keeps everything so ridiculously silly. Like you show up in Matryoshka and you've got a $1.10. They call it a collar instead of a dollar, though. You have $1.10. But then you go to the exchange rate and you exchange it and you have like $5 million. And Matryoshka money. And then even the little like exchange dude, he's like, you rich. And he's like, wow.
That's amazing.
So it's incredibly silly, but it's really well written. It's really humorous. I had such a good time with it. And like I said, most of the flaws were just little like lost in translation kind of things that pull you out of it and you're like, aw, come on. So close. And it's not even something to complain about. It's just something to mention. But otherwise, I had a fucking blast.
Nice. So overall, $20. What do you think?
I give it a buy it. This is pretty high up there for Artifex money. Like they did a killer job with this one, and it's I'd like to see them keep going and do more of these. That are as much as I love their regular games. This and My Brother Rabbit were such a diversion and such a breath of fresh air while still having the same kind of puzzle mechanics and gameplay schematics that we're so used to. So you knew what to do and you didn't need it to hold your hand, but it felt fresh and different at the same time. So I hope they keep it up because they're doing really good with these.
Yeah, I looked up My Brother Rabbit, and that showed as well that it was developed by Artifex. So I wonder if this is just the new direction that the company's going with the increased prices, that they're just going for more high-quality stuff instead of, I don't want to say cookie-cutter games, but they all kind of looked and felt the same, but they were still good.
They are cookie-cutter, yeah. I mean, I'm not mad about the whole cookie-cutter aspect, but they are cookie-cutter. But yeah, I'm happy to see that they're doing so well with these because I've had fun with both of them and they were both considerably different from what they normally do. So
yeah,
Take a stab at who got that code. I was actually trying to get it too because I didn't have that game.
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I wish I knew.
No big deal. I think it was supposed to be like a 15-minute completion. It's the only reason I cared.
See, people are missing out on free games by not watching the show Thursday.
God damn it, here I have to sit and review shit and can't get the free codes.
Boo fucking who.
It's not like I already got 900 and some odd games just chilling anyway.
Yeah, seriously. Anyway, next game to talk about is called Shadow Fencer Theater, developed and published by Shoulda Had a Lot of Fun. I love that name.
That is a great name.
Released June 26th on Xbox One and Steam for $14.99. Shadow Fencer Theater is a competitive, awkward physics sword fighting game set in the world of shadow puppets. Cole, tell us about it.
That is pretty cut and dry right there.
Well, then, it is $15. What's your verdict?
In all reality, like, it's such a simple concept, but they've executed it so well that it just feels natural when you're playing it. You only have three buttons to use, which is your left thumbstick moves your character, your right thumbstick aims your wobbly ass arm with your sword, and then if you really feel rambunctious and you can't get them just by swinging your weapon around, you can press RB to throw that shit or to punch. If you get in a position where you can punch, punching is so hard, and I'll get to that in a second. But if you throw your weapon, punching is your only option. You don't get that back. It literally even says in the instructions, no take backs.
Yeah.
So hold on to your shit unless you want to be trying to punch your way to victory. The way this plays out is that it looks like a shadow puppet theater. If you've ever had one for kids where you have like the little puppets on sticks, and if you're really fancy, they've got the little hinged joints on the grommets. If you can imagine that, that's where you're at with Shadow Puppet Theater. Shadow Fence Theater. Goodness gracious, I can't even talk.
Shocker. That happens to me too, so.
I think all the caffeine.
Now you know.
Sherlock. Not gonna let it go. But it's a really simple mechanic is that there's one on the right, one on the left. CPU controls one of them, or you can play with a buddy. And then move forward, hold out your wobbly ass sword, and hope that you hit the other guy first. Now, if you're playing story mode, there are three acts that you have to go through. And ideally, everybody that you encounter is going to have, you're going to have to hit them like seven times before you end the game. There's a, the way it frames it is that basically each part of your health, if you will, is an act. It's all like theater themed. So it's an act. And if you get down to where each of you only have one act left, or not an act, the act is for the overall thing. The takes. Scene? I'm sorry, takes.
Takes.
As in, like, you know, director's takes.
Yeah, take one, take two.
Struggling. So if you get down to where both of you only have one take left, it won't let you just kill the other person and win. It will add extra takes to balance it out to give the other person a chance to come back. So if you get down to where you both have one, it'll say, no, we added extra takes, and then you have two again. So you have to beat the other person while having two takes yourself.
So it's a win by two scenario.
Yes. The reason for this is because winning can literally happen in under a second.
Mm-hmm.
It's so crazy fast. Literally all you have to do is touch the body of the other puppet and you've won. But likewise, all they have to do is touch your body and they've won. And controlling your weapon is fucking hard. I may or may not have figured out a strategy that lets me hit about 98% of my attacks.
Oh, do tell.
No. If you hold up when you start and then go over and hold your weapon down, more often than not, you'll avoid the AI's weapon and hit them in the head.
Nice.
Yeah, like you can do it in literally under a second. I was just, in addition to the story mode, there's also what's called a marathon. And basically, you want to kill as many as you can. They're randomly shuffled. You get to pick which character you are, but the other puppets are just randomly shuffled. And the goal is to get through all of them in increasing difficulty. And using that strategy, the very first time I did it, I was on a 36 kill streak.
Jesus.
Yeah. There's an achievement for reaching Grandmaster difficulty in under 9 minutes. And I was trying so hard to get it. Like, it was my life goal. And I did not. I could not get past that 36. I think because I got frustrated knowing I was that close my first run. And then just couldn't do it after that. So I haven't tried it yet today. I might do that after the show. Because I really do want to... The completion in this would be fairly easy if as long as you could manage to beat the marathon mode. That's not all there is, though. I think that's the most amazing part of this game. It's such a simple concept, and yet somehow they found a way to add so many things to do with it.
Yeah.
Because there are also skits that you can play, and these put your puppet in different positions. Instead of just... you know, trying to knock out another puppet, you may be in a position where you have a puppet and he has an umbrella instead of a sword, and you're trying to protect him from arrows that are raining down. Or there's one where you're trying to use those wobbly-ass physics to row a rowboat across the screen. I have never managed to get the rowboat all the way across. I get so close, and I run out of time, and I just want to scream, but I play at 2 a.m., and I can't wake the kids.
You son of a bitch.
I've never been so quietly angry in my life.
You motherfucker. I will kill you and your family.
Can't kill him. He's already bones. He's already a skeleton. The characters' names are hilarious, too. There's Just Born the Frail. And then there's Betsy's Bones and Betsy's Ghost.
Oh, God. I didn't see all the characters in the game.
Oh, my gosh. They're fantastic.
I like
they're
the giraffe. So
creative. Yeah, the giraffe is ridiculous. The horse is horribly underrated because he doesn't have a weapon. He just stands backward and kicks. And that's the reason I come up with the strategy of going up and over everybody. Is because that's what you basically have to do to get past the horse. And I was like, wait a second. If it works for the horse, is it going to work for everybody else? Yes, it fucking does. Epic strategy is epic. But not Epic Game Store.
Very true. So any but, negatives about the game?
It loads incredibly fucking slow. I know Carnage said that in chat too. I don't know if it's a issue on the X. I have the game loaded onto a solid state drive, and the load times were still god awful slow.
Yeah, I was on an X, and it was pretty bad there too.
I'm not sure why the load times would be so slow, given that it's clearly not the most like intense fighting game you're ever going to play.
Must just be an optimization thing. And also optimum is the fact that Carnage dropped 50 bits.
Oh, dropping bits!
Thank you, Norg.
We're at one third of the goal for your
Oh my god, we are. We're 33.33% for bitty tree fitty my shitty compitty.
You ain't think you were ever going to get anything, and now you're one third of the way there. How does it feel?
Oh my god, it's weird.
You can put wet pancakes inside your computer now.
Oh, jeez.
Wet pancakes!
Anyway. Load times.
Yeah, the load times are shitty. However, as shitty as they were, and they were frustrating, but... I was playing casually in the middle of the night while I was also watching YouTube videos. So I wasn't overwhelmingly like bothered by the longer load times. But again, that's also the difference of a solid state drive. And so I can imagine if you don't have that, they're probably going to be standout annoying. The game is a fucking blast, though. Holy crow. I just had such a good time. And I didn't expect to like it as well as I did.
Yeah, you talked it up quite a bit and convinced me to buy it last night. So
I did. I did. And I was a little concerned at the price of it.
Yeah, if anything, that would be my biggest concern with the game is the price.
Even with all of the options that it has, it is still basically just a poke them once and kill them kind of game. And so the mechanic
Octodad meets Bushido Blade.
And it can wear itself out. If you, you know, it can, especially if you're having to wait god awful lengths of time in between. But, I could see like somebody being like, okay, well, that was fun for like 15 minutes and then that was done. You know, yeah. I enjoyed it for longer, but I, like I said, I was also playing it kind of casually and not breaking my neck on it. And it's there is a story mode, but it was really short. It was two intermissions. Three acts, two intermissions, and then there was a fight at the end of the credits. While the credits are rolling, you can fight, and there's an achievement for beating that.
Nice.
But I did it in like 25-30 minutes. It was really quick, even with the load times. And I was like, the $15 price tag's a little hard.
Yeah.
It is a hard sell. That said, it looks adorable, it's charming, it's creative, and I really did enjoy it anyway.
So your official verdict?
I still give it a buy it.
Wow.
Yeah. Get out there and like work the corner for an hour so that you can justify having to pay a little higher price for this one. Because it is worth it, I think. It's just kind of a little high. Yeah. But not, don't buy it high. Yeah.
All right. Next. Well, speaking of games with long loading times, next game to talk about is called Monster Jam. I'm sorry. Monster Jam Steel Titans. Developed by Rainbow Studios, published by THQ Nordic, released June 25th on Xbox One and PS4 for $39.99, PC for $29.99. Real trucks, real action, Monster Jam! Monster Jam Steel Titans delivers the complete Monster Jam experience for everybody to enjoy. Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Sorry, I had to.
Did you enjoy yourself there?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And it's not Sunday.
Mm-mm.
Monster Pancakes! Drop in bed!
My God.
Anyway, Monster Jam Steel Titans, obviously the latest Monster Jam game. If you are not familiar with Monster Jam, Gravedigger should be enough to get your memory jogged of what Monster Jam is. They're the, mm-hmm. the big trucks that run over cars.
Yeah.
And then some of them like shoot fire and they do spin outs and all this other fun shit. The game kind of threw me off because I was expecting to start the game and go right into crushing cars and running shit over, and instead it starts you off with a tutorial and some races.
Oh.
Yeah, racing monster trucks is really, really weird. First thing, the handling in this game sucks. Like,
I would imagine the handling on a monster truck sucks ass.
Yeah, it's Carnage can vouch for this. We were just before we started recording, we were watching Shiz Black stream the game.
I watched too, yeah.
And all you have to do is breathe on the analog stick and it'll turn you 90 degrees.
Yikes.
It's an exaggeration, obviously, but
not by much.
Just nudging the controller Shiz couldn't keep the vehicle straight. He just kept going left, back and forth, serpentine. It's the handling was atrocious. I could not get my hands on the, like, that's how the handling makes me feel.
Oh, that's sad.
Once you finally get into the handling and you get a hand on things and you kind of get a grip on how to control your truck, the next problem is the camera is too close. I wish it were zoomed back a little more. They have closer inside shots, but nothing further back. I like having like the far chase cam in racing games. Mm-hmm. So I have more of a view of what's going on, but this is more zoomed in. That's a minor gripe, though. It was still totally playable. The physics in this game blow my mind.
Really?
All you have to do is hit a rock in this game, and you'll flip over.
Oh, my.
Like, full-on flip backwards onto your hood. You might roll onto your side. When you're on your side, you can, you know, turn and hold the gas, and you'll start doing spins, and then you'll right yourself up, which I've seen done in monster truck shows. It's cool to do, but I would rather, you know, stay on my goddamn wheels during a game instead of be upside down or on my hood or whatever else. The physics in this game are just mind-blowingly insane. I don't get it. I mentioned we were watching Shiz Blacka. I don't remember what he hit. It may have been a tree. He went soaring about half a mile through the air while
<I can't laughs>
rapidly doing flips.
Can't wait to see the clips of that.
Someone clipped it on Shiz's channel. If anyone's familiar with the streamer Shiz Blacka, go to his channel, look at his clips, and find the clip, because we were losing our shit. It was so funny to watch. It makes it hard to actually win a race.
It's frustrating to play, yeah.
Yeah, it makes it hard to win a race, but goddamn, the physics in this game. There's a hub area for you to cruise around in and practice driving. The hub area gets bigger as you progress in the game. There's 50 collectibles that you can earn through the game. As when you first start, there's only like 3 of them in the opening area, so you have to progress through the story to even collect everything. They have a career mode that takes you through a variety of levels of the Monster Jam Arena Tour, from starting on outside tracks, working on inside tracks, going to the super indoor arenas, the monster shows. It just takes you through an entire career. They do have quick play for all the modes, which includes stunt events and the long awaited destruction modes, where you can run over and destroy cars. There is local co-op in the game, no online play, which I thought was a bummer.
Yeah.
And another bummer is it needs more destruction stuff in the game, and it needs quicker access to destroying shit in the game. I buy a monster truck game, I want to run shit over. I don't want to drive around a quarry and do flips over rocks.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I thought you were going to say something else.
No, I stuttered is all. I'm sorry.
Okay. Speaking of flipping over during races, the game desperately needs a quick restart option for races. The only
it doesn't have one?
No. You have to quit to the main menu and start again. And with the bad loading times in the game, that's another pain in the ass right there. The graphics are pretty nice, despite some noticeable texture pop in at times, but I felt the soundtrack was fairly lackluster. Shiz liked it. It's generic butt rock, and I'm a fan of butt rock, but there was just like nothing to it. It didn't really do anything for me. Side note, they have a $3 DLC pack that is supposed to unlock 3 of the trucks for you, 3 of the monster trucks, because when it first starts, you get like a practice truck and that's it. And you have to earn them and unlock them and buy them through the game. You could pay $3 for DLC, which unlocks Gravedigger and 2 other ones. It didn't work for me.
Oh no.
I had it installed. I bought it. I dropped the $3, installed it, ran the game, nothing unlocked. So I wasted $3.
Oh, that blows.
Yeah, it does. On the bright side, it was a review copy, so I didn't waste 40, because on $30 on PC, it's a tough maybe. Like, the game, once you get grips on everything, it can be fun until the physics fuck with you. $40 on console, between the handling and the physics, I can't recommend it, especially when Milestone and Codemasters put out more solid racing games. Granted, you're not going to get the destruction like you would in Monster Jam. You won't get to crush vehicles, but you'll have a better racing experience from something Milestone and Codemasters put out, as opposed to what Rainbow did here with Monster Jam. For Monster Jam diehards, it's a try it if you're willing to get frustrated with the physics and losing a race because a tire made you do a triple flip onto your side. Yeah. Everybody else, it sucks to say, deny it.
Ouch.
I did not enjoy my time with this game, and I was looking forward to this one. I requested that, you know how little I do reviews anymore because I'm more focused on everything else on the show. I was looking forward to this one, and I'm let down by it.
I'm sorry.
So, hey, it happens. They can't all be winners.
True.
I know the last Monster Jam wasn't well received either, but It looks like this one. It's Shiz was having fun with it. He was laughing and smiling and having a great old time. But when you're trying to actually progress in the game and get shit done, it just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's rough. I think he said someone completed the game, got all the achievements, and it took like 14 hours. It took them. I can only wonder how much of that was just frustration waiting and loading for times.
Waiting for it to load so they could try again. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, next game to talk about is called We the Revolution, developed by Polyslash, published by Clubator, released June 25th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. As a judge of the Revolutionary Tribunal, preside over complicated cases of ordinary citizens, dangerous criminals, and enemies of the revolution in revolutionary Paris. Make judgments, plot political intrigue, and try not to lose your own head. Cole, tell us about We the Revolution.
Okay. So anybody that's familiar with the revolution, the French Revolution, knows that that was the point where people were getting their heads lopped off for being assholes. It was definitely a peasants versus aristocrats kind of thing. So in We the Revolution, you play as a judge, and justice must be served despite everything else that's going on. But the whole game focuses on, are you as just as you think you are? It's very moral component heavy. Each day you are situated right before a trial. You have a jury to your left. There is the public crowd behind the defendant. The defendant's front and center there. And after a while, you have an assistant prosecutor as well. You are tasked with sorting through the documents and the evidence that is presented to you, and sorting through that information in order to unlock questions that you can ask the defendant. Additionally, you can call in witnesses in some cases and ask them questions as well. So once you start to go through asking the questions and stuff, the answers may have an effect that sways the jury. Likewise, it can sway the public opinion. Can also sway you. And you may find yourself in a position to where you are more swayed than the jury, and you might have to make a decision to go against what the jury recommends and issue a verdict of your own that's in disagreement. Or your verdict may be unpopular to the crowd. You know, one case will see you actually hearing the trial of King Louis, and who was the last king of France, and the circumstances around him. And you have to decide, are you going to give him the death penalty? Are you going to send him to the guillotine? Are you going to send him to prison? Or are you going to let him go? And everything you do has a consequence, not just in the courtroom, but also at home.
Oh,
because
man.
After each day, you have to go home and you have to face your wife and your two sons and your father. And you have to decide how you're going to spend your time with them, because you need their support when you go back to the courtroom the next day.
Oh, man. So this is a full-on life sim.
Oh, my God. Are you going to piss them off? Or are you going to, you know, keep them happy so that you have their support when it comes to the decisions you make in the courtroom? If that's not enough, you may have loftier ambitions than just being a judge. So you may be making decisions that are for the purpose of political clout. So in addition to your family and in addition to the court, you got to keep the people situated. You may make a decision that instigates a fucking riot. And then you've got to quell that riot.
Oh, shit.
So most of the game is played out through static scenes. It has a really creative, almost low poly kind of impressionistic look to it. I love the art style in this. Everything plays out through fairly static scenes, though. It's not heavily animated or anything in that regard. It's almost like an impressionistic comic book, if you will. But you also have scenes where you have a map of of France, of basically the French territories. And I'm not sure if it was France. I don't remember if it was France as a whole or if it was just Paris. It might have been Paris and like some surrounding suburbs. But it's broken down into sections, and you need, if you're trying to gain political clout and quell the riots and improve your station, you need to go on intrigues and solve these different situations that sometimes may take 2 or 3 days before the consequences of them come to fruition. But, it's incredibly complicated and it's hard to explain. Like, I can see everything in my head and I don't know that I'm getting all the details in there, but yeah, you need
sounds
to be
like
able
a very complex game.
You need to be able to move these boards or move these pieces around the boards. Like, oh, well, there's a riot in this segment and I have to send a brute over there, but I can send a diplomat to another segment to quell the people before it gets to a riot stage, if you will. But then there's patrols out and you have to watch out for the enemies trying to take over your areas. As all well and good as that is, there's a shit ton of content and everything has an effect and everything can fuck you over or help you out. But at times it's almost a little too much. I didn't mind when it was the easier stuff, when it's like, okay, even when the court cases got to be a little more complicated and managing your family gets to be a little more complicated. But I found that I didn't particularly enjoy the map segments where you're trying to take over and control the different sections. And I could have very easily dealt with that just not being a part of the game. Every time I had to do that, I was just like, not this again. because I far more just enjoyed the family dynamics and just making the decisions, like for the intrigues where you say, I'm going to have this person arrested or that person instead, or I'm going to issue a threat or I'm going to use my wife to spread rumors or things like that. That was far more enjoyable to me than just trying to randomly drag these pieces around the board and hope that I didn't get fucked over. it was kind of a shame because that part just, it didn't fit with the rest of the game and I could have done without it. But everything else, I enjoyed this so much more than I thought I was going to. And I stayed up till like 4 a.m. playing it a couple different days. I was just like, I need to know. I need to know if I've made the right choice. Spoiler alert, 97% of the time I didn't make the right fucking choice. I made a conscious effort in my playthrough. I wanted to be the just, righteous kind of judge. That shit won't work out for you. Don't do it. Pick a side and stick to it, because the person who rides the middle line just ends up with nothing but a fence post up their ass.
Oh, God.
And it was tough. I was just making the game harder on myself.
Well, $20 on We the Revolution. What do you think?
This is a definite buy it. It was really good. I do worry that as much as I enjoyed it, it might be a little niche and not everybody's cup of tea. This is definitely going to appeal to those kind of people who like have political intrigue and are strategy heavy and like to think out all the possible consequences. If you just want something that you're going to go in and point and click at, this isn't going to be it. But if you enjoy this kind of strategy and planning and problem solving, then you're probably going to be all over this.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it sounds like a buy it, but do some due diligence and look up about
the
game
first.
Make
sure it's what you're going to want, because yeah, it really is not for everybody. And in a lot of cases, I would normally knock one that's so niche like that down to a try it, because it's hard to be like, put money behind this and know that not a lot of people are going to jump for joy. And especially with something that's, you know, politically motivated and so strategy heavy, it is a tougher sell, but it's so well done and the story is so well played out that I can't help but still give it a bite anyway.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, snap. Carnage just subbed.
I subbed earlier and it didn't even give me my alert. Oh, didn't No it? Time gave him a sub. There we go.
Oh, No Time good. Gifted a sub to Carnage. Carnage didn't actually sub because he's a cheap bastard.
Yep.
It's what No Time that gifted the sub. So thank you, No Time, for being extremely generous. And thank you, Carnage, for making terrible puns.
That reminds me, I got to make that base kitty. I forgot.
We'll get you a kitty cat soon, Scott.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Next game to talk about is called Outbreak Lost Hope, developed and published by Dead Drop Studios, released June 26th on Xbox One for $9.99. Experience a mother's desperate search for her daughter in the midst of a nationwide epidemic. Story follows Gwen just after her harrowing escape from an urban center during the outbreak. Terrible accident occurs. A terrible accident causes her to get separated from her daughter Hope, and she has to fight the undead to survive and save her daughter. Cole, tell us about Outbreak.
Man, the Outbreak games have come so far. And I just want to point out, when I first started playing the Outbreak series, I was not sold. I was really harsh on it. I hated the tank controls. I hated basically everything about it. And with each one, they've gotten a little better than the one before. And I think we are finally at a point with Lost Hope where I'm like, fucking yes, thank you. I'm so proud of Dead Drop Studios. Good job. I could not be happier to say that because it's such an improvement. And it's so nice to see a developer who is really working at their craft and really trying to make a better game. One of my favorite things about Outbreak, through all of them, even when I didn't enjoy the gameplay, was that the story is really well done. And I loved the first one. As much as I did not enjoy the gameplay, I was grateful that you could go through and actually read and all the bits of the story without playing the game. And I did that because I was so invested in what the story was trying to say. And that has continued to be a strong point in every one of these. And this one, Outbreak Lost Hope, is absolutely no different. That story still ties into the one to the story from all the other Outbreak games. And yet it stands alone on its own. So if you haven't played the others, you're not completely lost.
That's good.
I love that because it's easy to just go, look, if you can't manage the tank controls of the other ones, I don't blame you. Start here. So we've seen these go from 2D games that were horribly dark and pixelated to full-on 3D renders, and this one is 3D rendered. Even better, the tank controls are fucking gone. Get out of here. Even better than that, my nemesis, the fixed camera, is also fucking gone. You can rotate the camera, and I'm so happy. As you can tell, I've really enjoyed my time with this one, just because
I can tell. Yeah,
I feel like the developer has listened to the complaints about the other games.
The developer has listened it specifically to you.
Yes. And it's nice to just see these quality of life improvements. Is it flawless? No. I'd still like to see cameras or the sensitivity buttons. There wasn't a sensitivity option.
There also wasn't an invert aim option, which I brought to his attention. He's like, I didn't even think of it. So yeah. Hopefully that'll be coming.
Yeah, there could definitely stand to be a few more options in that menu. But again, so much has been improved that I'm willing to overlook it. There are still elements that let you know that you are playing a game that is paying homage to classic Resident Evil games. You're not going to be missing that aspect of Outbreak if it's what you enjoyed. Yeah, the tank controls are gone. Fuck off. But the inventory management surprisingly was more strict in this one than it has been even in the previous games. And I bitched about that inventory. If I thought struggling around with, I think it was 8 last time, if I thought that was hard, you start this motherfucker with 4. And I was upset. But thankfully, he has added in pouches that you can find. Very Resident Evil 2-ish. Was 2, right? I think so. Anyway, where you can find pouches and add to your inventory. Each pouch adds 2. However, don't get pouch happy, because there aren't enough keys to unlock every stash in the game, and you can't get them all.
Oh, man.
So you need to decide, do I really want a shotgun, or do I want a grenade launcher, or do I want a pouch? Think about it. It makes a difference. Thankfully, before you open a stash and you use a key on it, it does tell you that that you have the option, you know, it does tell you what's in it, as opposed to just being like, well, open this, good luck.
So it's not surprise mechanics.
No. And you know what you're getting, and you know if it's going to be worth putting your key into or not.
That sounds ethical.
So you get to, not like a loot box. So you get the option of, you know, do I want the pouch or do I want a better weapon? And you're definitely going to want a better weapon. This is a long-standing gripe of mine with Outbreak. It continues on. It's a mechanic meant to force the scarcity of ammunition, which is already scarce in the first place. It's kind of hard to do a review when I'm seeing you on camera sticking your nose to the mic.
Why are you paying attention to me?
Because I'm looking at the stream. But the ammo and stuff is already scarce enough that it's kind of frustrating that the add in the extra element that you can't just kill the zombies by shooting with the handgun. Now, with a shotgun or the Magnum, you're fine. But with the standard handgun, you can hit them in the head 5 or 6 times and they don't care. They're going to get up again.
Oh, man.
Now, I will say, if you beat the game, then you get an extra mode. And if you beat that, you get a knife. That's a one-hit kill.
Sweet.
You need that motherfucker from the start.
Motherfucker from the start.
I will pay DLC prices to get that knife from the start, because it's incredibly frustrating to try to just shoot them fuckers and they get up and start chasing you again, to the point that there's an achievement for just killing one zombie. And it's like, yeah, good luck, because if you're going to sit there and unload 30 bullets into them. The point is that, you know, bullets are scarce. Shoot them, knock them down, and run. That's a little more problematic in some areas, though, because they're there.
Yeah.
And you don't have a choice but to deal with them. Especially one instance, for example, I needed to get some C4 out of a truck. And there were like 4 or 5 zombies in the area. They had followed me from all around the cemetery. And then I get to the truck, and there's the ones all behind me, and there's 3 in front of the truck, and one of them motherfuckers is on fire. And I'm like, I just want the C4. And you can't shoot them all, because they do not give a fuck. And if you only had the handgun at that time, fuck you. You're out of luck. You're just going to die. I didn't die, but I got really close. I just happened to have a lot of coagulant to save my ass.
Nice. Well, there you go, Dead Drop. Give us a cheat code or some DLC to buy that knife from the beginning.
Something to get that knife a little on the easier side.
Let us cheese it.
I will say, if you were hoping that the achievements on this one were as easy as the last game, you're a little out of luck, because you do have to beat this on 3 different difficulties, and it's tough. Even the first one, just even normal or easy, is hard. Unfortunately. So I don't see people rushing to this for the achievement aspect. That said, I do think the achievements are fair, and the game is supposed to be difficult. It is an homage, I can't English, to, you know, old school horror games. I will say, personal preference wise, though, this is by far my favorite way to play a survival horror game. And so, like, even within just a few minutes of turning the game on, I was just like, oh, thank God.
Well, then $10 on it. What's your official verdict?
I do give it a buy it. It's so good to see developers to work it, you know, work at making their games, their craft better, and listening to the community's feedback. And so I fully support that. And this one is by large the best one out of all of them that I've played. And I know there's, you know, some people will say I'm brown nosing or whatever, but it is a genuine case of I'm glad to see where this has ended up. I loved the story. I've been invested in these characters. Even when I didn't enjoy the gameplay, I was still invested in the characters because the story is really well done. And so it's nice to get a version of it where I enjoyed the gameplay as much as I enjoyed the story.
Yeah.
So it was good.
And the best part in my eyes is just seeing a developer improve over the years. We've literally really seen incredible. Dead Drop Studios grow over the years, and it's awesome.
I mean, it's the first couple Outbreak games, like I just sat and I played them and I just like, because you know when you've got to say something hard and you know the developers are listening and you know that it's going to hurt their feelings when you have to say that their game is bad. And to see one who took the criticism and didn't just throw up their hands and quit and said, fuck it, I'll make it better. Mm-hmm. And they have continually made it better. That's a good thing to see, that we don't see enough of that.
Yeah.
So I definitely encourage that. And I want to show support for that whenever I can.
I agree. And one final game to talk about tonight is called Attack of the Toy Tanks, developed by Petite Games, published by Rattleaka Games, released June 25th on PS4 and Vita, 26th on Xbox, 28th on Switch for $4.99. War is coming, whether you're ready for it or not, soldier. In Attack of the Toy Tanks, across the game 60 levels in the main campaign, players must take control of the provided vehicle of war and battle it out across 2D, three-dimensional landscape arenas and be the last tank standing. Cole, talk about it, because I'm fucking awful at games like these.
So you remember the arcade and Boss 101 and that tank mini game?
Yeah, I sucked at that too.
Yeah, this is that, but bigger and more colorful and every bit as irritating. I don't particularly suck at this. The controls are really convoluted for this, though, because tank controls in a tank.
Literal tank controls.
I fucking hate tank controls, guys. Please.
I saw that there were two control schemes in the game, and I was hoping one of them was like point in a direction and go that direction.
Nope. They're both ass. Carnage says they could have just made them twin stick, and it would have been hard too, is the thing, because in Boss 101 it was a twin stick and it was still hard. Mm-hmm. This one just ramped the difficulty up 742%, and I'm not happy about it. I'm not happy about it at all. It looks great. I was really impressed with the art style. It looks almost like little kids' toys, and the levels are made out of blocks. And so, although I'm a little worried about what kid has spikes in their room, but it's okay. My kids are weird too, I guess. So whatever.
Carnage, on the bright side, it's an easy 1K. It's only an easy 1K if you don't suck at these kind of games.
See, I would say it's an easy 800-900K. Because there are 60 levels. But for the achievements, you've only got to go to level 30.
Yeah.
And I'm stuck at 17. I am stuck. So,
do you want to know how far back I am?
Oh, no.
3.
Ah, Joe.
I told you, I am awful at tank games. I can't fucking do them, man. I'm terrible at tank games. I was terrible in Boss 101. I'm terrible here. I sucked playing combat as a kid with my dad.
You know what I didn't think to do and I wish I had? I wish I had thought to bind the movement to the paddles on my Elite.
Oh, there you go.
That would have made it a million times easier. If I could pull the movement off of the bumpers and put it on a paddle.
Oh, there you go. Try that.
That might help. That only helps those people with Elites, though.
Yeah.
But, it is a simple enough concept. You have a tank. There are other tanks. Kill them before they kill you. The end. Or an adaptive controller. That's a good option, too. I don't have one. hint, hint. No.
Yeah, I'm not buying you one.
No. There's nobody that listens to us that could send me one, either. It's the problem. Nobody with that kind of clout gives a fuck what we're doing here. But gonna have to get my own, I guess. Wah. But what is this buying my own game shit? I don't understand. it is just an easy to play kind of game if you can manage the movement. Shoot them before they shoot you. Sometimes there are obstacles. There might be lasers. There might be spikes. I don't know what fucking kid has lasers and spikes at their disposal. And maybe their parents need to intervene. But it does make things more challenging. There were so many times where because the controls are so wonky, like I would just drive into shit thinking I was going forward and I'd be going backward instead.
Yeah. So,
and it was just like, well, start over. Start over. At least it restarts quick. And literally, you're meant to beat these levels fast. Gold times are like 3 and 4 seconds per level.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. So you're
supposed to fly through it. There are 60 of them, though, like I said. So, you got time. You got plenty of content there. But I'm stuck at 17. You do have to go to 30 if you want the completion. Carnage that camped the shit out. That's how I played as well. You just go behind a wall and spam the fire button and wait for them to cross your path.
Maybe I'll try that. And even
still, there were times where I would fuck up because there's a couple of levels where in about midway through where they give you explosives. So you shoot out the explosive and then when the other tank drives over, it blows them up. And because I was so used to hiding behind the wall and spamming that sometimes the shot wouldn't go past the wall and the grenade would come back on me. And then I'd just sit there and be like, you would think I'd fucking learn, but no, I did it again.
Proud of you.
I haven't looked to see if there's any stats on this game, but if there are, it's probably going to say self-death 974,000 times.
There is a statistics section, but I don't remember if self-death is part of it or not.
It should be. Self-death is a fancy way of saying I blew myself the fuck up a lot.
Well, blowing yourself up aside, $5 on Attack of the Toy Tanks, what do you think of it?
It's cheap. It's easy. Well, it's easy-ish if you can get the controls under lock and key. But it's a lot. It's actually really fun. I'm going to go for a fuck it. Why not? At $5. It's not flawless. Them controls are fucking brutal. I'm sure there are people who are good with tank controls and I ain't it. But yeah,
I would love to see them update the game with a third control scheme that's just point in a direction, go that direction.
I don't know that we will ever get it, but we can hope and dream.
Yeah, wish in one hand, shit in the other. I'd like to
have my last two achievements, you assholes.
Oh, man. Overall, a fairly solid lineup this week.
Pretty good. I was even thinking, I don't know how I'm going to pick a favorite because I enjoyed most of them so much.
Well, you don't get to pick a favorite yet because we have to celebrate the fact that Vertically Impaired just subbed for 16 months now.
Enjoy your Predator badge.
Yes, enjoy Predator. We'll never go away.
Nope.
But yeah, do you have a pick of the week?
I think it's a tie between Irony Curtain and We the Revolution.
Gun to your head. Got to pick one.
Irony Curtain.
Nice.
Just because We the Revolution was so convoluted and hard to learn. Such a
niche game.
Yeah, that Irony takes it away because it's anybody could pick it up and play it.
Yeah. Fuck was
that? Made me jump. The cat knocked the hairbrush off the desk.
All right. On that note, that is it for this episode.
We survived.
We survived again. Hooray.
Yay.
Cole, do you have any final words?
No, I'm out of tea, so I'm done here.